So, yeah, little disclaimer, there's going to be some wonky audio in this one because we had some technical difficulties. You'll notice right away when you hear me speak. So, the story of this is that DJ, when we were doing pre-production, forgot to tell me that I was talking into the wrong mic. So, I spent the entire episode talking into a mic that wasn't on, while the mic that I should have been using was off in the corner and picked up my voice because I'm extremely loud. So yeah, sorry about that, and hopefully you still enjoy the episode. Just kind of envision it like I'm on a Skype call or something, and it'll make it feel a little better. So yeah, thanks. Enjoy. Hey everybody, and welcome to the third season. Wait. Hey everybody, and welcome to the 31st episode of the third season of Press X to Start.
Yay!
Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games for everyone. And we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishnigga Wood, California. Hey. A.K.A. the janitor, because I be washing niggas.
I love that.
A.K.A. I don't got nothing. Just like Popeyes with them damn chicken sandwiches.
Yo, fire. You did it.
I like how you pulled that one around.
Yeah, you really pulled that one out.
Thanks, man. Marcus Ellison.
All right. I am DJ, A.K.A. Sexy Bad Choices. Hey. A.K.A. I will fuck up your name.
yeah, he will.
AKA, did you know?
Yes.
Lasers can get trapped in a waterfall.
What?
To be precise, a laser beam can get trapped in a stream of water.
Mm.
And it's considered a total internal reflection. That means that the laser beam is unable to leave the body of water. So wherever the water
not your
falls,
strongest did you know?
No, this is actually super interesting because when I saw that, I was like, because like I looked it up and it's a GIF of a person's hand and where the water is falling is just red. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And then in the background, you see like a laser beam that's shooting through this like glass. And it's like, oh, the laser beam is being pointed at the one spot where the water's coming out. And when the water's coming out, it ends on the... Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool, guys.
Yeah. Science.
Science.
Thank you, Bill Nye, the science
the
Negro. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Cameron, a.k.a. the Sultan of Segways.
The salesman of salt.
The salesman of salt.
The Sultan of Segways, a.k.a. Press X's favorite guest host.
Yep.
Hey, I like that.
Yep. We need to make DJ a tag, like Tay Keith was like, DJ, fuck this nigga's name up.
I just get the names wrong. Wrong.
We're gonna wrong make every after time. This podcast.
Yeah, every time.
And now that we've all been introduced, we're going to talk about what we've been playing.
Hey.
And I have a big old thick docket.
Thick.
Is thick.
That, is that two C's? C's?
Triple C's.
Ooh, three.
Mm-hmm. Word to Rick Ross. yeah, I have played a good amount this entire week, and it's been rare that that's happened because my life was dominated by Days Gone for so long.
Yeah.
And we know you enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a time in my life. Got held captive by Deacon St. John. So, what I played this week, Overwatch, the Ghost Recon Breakpoint beta, Man of Medan, the Super Massive Games new anthology, the first installment of their new horror anthology, and Control.
All right.
I will start by talking about Overwatch because it's a quick thing. Last Sunday, I was supposed to go out and do productive things. Instead.
Sounds like you didn't.
I did not. But I still had a great day.
Yeah.
So instead, I got roped into Overwatch by Annie. We were just going to play a couple games.
Then Larissa got online, and then we played some more games.
Mm-hmm.
Then Avery got online, and then we played some more games.
That's a whole team right there.
And then the homie Daniel, shout out to Daniel, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Got online. And this time, usually when he's played with us, because he's played with us before too.
Right.
He didn't have a mic, but he figured out his mic situation now. Ooh. So Daniel was on mic.
Hey.
And everything just went to hell right after that. We played literally over 7 hours of Overwatch. It was insane.
That is insane.
But it was so goddamn fun. And we were playing quick play. We played 4v4 deathmatch. We were playing just running around doing all types of stuff.
Yeah.
I think I leveled up like 10 levels over the course of that day. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I wish y'all could have been online for that because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. Next up, I played the Ghost Recon Breakpoint beta.
Mm-hmm.
It is a beta, so I will not hold certain things against it, like its glitchiness, because it is a beta.
Mm.
But if those same glitches are in the final game,
I'm gonna fuck someone.
We've got a problem. But
so what were some of the glitches that you had?
So the biggest one is I tried to pick up a body of a person that I just killed.
Mm-hmm.
And
could you be dropping bodies?
Yes. And I tried to dump it in the bushes, you know, to make sure that, like, because in some games, if you kill people and they still have people out in the wild that are part of their crew and they go through that said area and see that body, then it's like, oh, shit, someone's out here.
Right.
So I was like, let me hide these bodies. I tried to pick up the body and I proceeded to sink through the entire level.
Now, sink into the floor.
Wait.
Sink.
What?
So that's the real thick.
Yeah. And I was like, well, this is some Assassin's Creed shit right here.
You fell for our trap.
Right. That's how we got you. But overall, the experience was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you start out in what I'm assuming is the beginning of the game.
Right.
Basically, the wolves take over this Elon Musk-esque tech billionaire's private island where it's like an oasis and they're testing a lot of new scientific advancements that they are hoping will help improve the quality of life in the world.
Okay.
And the wolves take over and the ghosts get wind of it and they're being sent out to investigate what's going on. And when you're heading in after you create your character's face and all that stuff, choppers start going down. And then
is it like they get shot or is it like an EMP?
We don't
kind
know.
Of thing?
We don't know. Like the choppers just start going down.
Okay.
And you wake up upside down in a tree, just like Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, you have to try and go to each crash.
Is that Uncharted or is that Tomb Raider? I think Uncharted is a train.
Oh yeah.
That's Uncharted.
Tomb Raider is, I think.
Oh, yeah. Tomb Raider is definitely the plane tree. Blows up and then like
Laura. The tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no, that was the boat. She was on the boat in the first one.
Was it?
Somebody was hanging upside down in the tree, damn it. And so
it's Jack and Daxter.
You run to each crash site to see if any of your team members are still alive.
Oh.
And none of them are until you get to the third one and you find out that somebody has found some of the ghosts and are trying to keep them alive, but you have to go to the coordinates that they're given.
Okay.
So you go to the coordinates, and it's this giant mountain cavern, and there's just a whole freedom fighter group in there, and you link up with them, and now you're trying to
take back. Is that part of the trailer where like you're like going through like different terrains trying to get to this place, and it's like snowy?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Trailer
lied to me then.
It's not that part of the game. Maybe right. It's a later part or something. But yeah, I mean, the game, they've added some new mechanics to the game that it still feels like Wildlands, but it's a little more, once again, it's a beta. So there's certain things that I have to get used to again. Because I mainlined Recon Wildlands when I like played it again.
Yeah.
So I got so used to the way that that plays, and then I haven't played it since. So like it's getting used to that feel again.
Right, right.
Like the running's kind of awkward, and like you can switch between third person and first person view.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it flow nicely, or is it?
Once I get the hang of it, it will.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, you can switch between third person and first person. Okay. Yeah. And the graphics are better.
Yeah.
Which one would expect?
Have you played first person?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
Yeah, it didn't look good, and to me, it didn't look nice in the trailers.
It's,
but I'm biased.
I feel like the terrain doesn't always lend itself to first person unless you're really good at first person,
right?
And as is, like, because I was playing the first part of the game, so you have no support, whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it's easy to kind of get overwhelmed a little bit.
Okay.
But, and I also don't exactly like, not that it's a bad terrain, but I don't like this environment and terrain as much as I like the Wildlands terrain. So that is something I'm going to get used to as well.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's Ghost Recon, you know, it's not super different.
Right.
But yeah, that's my impressions of the beta. Obviously I'll have more in-depth impressions when the actual game comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Supermassive's Man of Medan.
Yeah.
Whoa, boy, rough. Like, it's clear that they worked on this in a fraction of the time that they worked on Until Dawn, I think. Because just the quality level isn't as strong.
Mm.
Like, the graphics are still nice, like the facial capture and everything like that. It still looks good. But nothing about this game feels as smooth or as human as Until Dawn did. Okay. Now, admittedly, I haven't played Until Dawn in a long time, but I just don't remember feeling like I wasn't playing human beings with these characters.
That's kind of crazy.
Whereas this game, whether it's the way that they're written or the performances themselves, it's just kind of like parts of this. I'm just like, bro, humans don't act like this. Or like, these are you guys are weird. And
so it's almost like they took a step back in terms of their
kind of
like emoting. From Until Dawn into this game?
Kinda.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, also, I think that the characters, not all of them, but there are like less likable characters in this one too.
Okay.
But overall, like, it's what you'd expect from a game. Like, if you played Until Dawn, then you've played Man of Medan, really. Like, it's the same kind of go around, look at clues, see what happened in this environment.
Yeah.
Then try not to get killed with these quick time events.
Right.
Make proper decisions when you're interacting with people, and that'll change the outcome of certain other interactions later in the game. This particular story is not doing as much for me as Until Dawn's, because Until Dawn, like, they had the Wendigo aspect of it, and it felt a little more the environment itself, you know, with like this abandoned cabin in the winter, and like there's this presence out there that's trying to kill you, and like it's just, it was a lot more anxiety inducing.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas this one, it's ghosts on a boat. It's like,
what they gonna do? Possess you?
Right. Mm-hmm. And like,
who are you gonna call?
No one, because there's no cell phone tower. But yeah, like, there's possession things. There's a lot of jump scares in this, but they're just not really effective, for me at least.
Okay.
Mark's like,
right.
Oh, no. There was the only effective scare happened for me because
they killed a black person?
No.
Oh.
No one has died in my playthrough yet.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
I hear it's pretty easy to kill people in that game.
Well, yeah. You know, human error.
Yeah.
But there was one thing where you're walking through the terrain, or you're walking through the boat, and out the corner of my eye, I saw something move, or I saw something that was not there previously.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And I was
here we go.
And it was just for a frame.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, it was such a small moment, but that was the most effective scare in the entire thing, because I was like, am I going crazy, or is there something there?
Yeah. The whole time is the reflection of your brother on the TV.
Right. Watching me.
What you playing, nigga?
So wait. So I'm trying to visualize that scene. So is it like you because it's a third person view.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're moving the character along.
Yes.
And there was something that appeared in screen or did not. Like
I was walking down a tunnel.
Yeah.
And I get to the end of the tunnel and I'm about to enter another door.
Yeah.
And in the corner of the frame, you see a person there.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm just like, who the fuck is that? And then I enter the room and then I come back out and that person is no longer there.
No.
And I was like, okay.
No.
All right.
No.
That's creepy. So, yeah, like
it's all the way. No.
An effective horror technique is messing around people's peripheral vision.
Yes.
And so, like, this idea that something is existing right outside of your frame of vision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, is it there?
Yeah.
Did I see what I thought I just saw?
Right.
But that was the most effective scare they did. Everything else is just so typical.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, zoom in on someone's face. Oh, no, they're alive. Like, it's just like, okay. All right. Whatever. But, yeah, game's fine.
Okay.
You know, it is what it is. It's their first time dipping their toe into this whole anthology thing. Yeah. So let's hope the next thing that they do is better.
They can only improve.
Yeah.
Only improve.
And then lastly, Control. Which I won't go too far with because I don't want to take up all of y'all's time. Because
you've already done enough.
For what I... some more shit then.
All right. The one time this man come to the podcast and play some games. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm not playing Remnant of Ass.
Whoa. You can talk about Anthem all we want. That game is trash, but and we on Press X to start podcast admit now. You're wrong. But Remnant is good. Okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Control is, if I had not played Devil May Cry 5, mm-hmm. it'd be my game of the year for 2019 so far.
Wow.
Okay. Any bad thing that I have to say about the game are nitpicks. Like, so it's a third-person actioneer. It makes no sense to me that the character can't dodge until you gain the ability.
Well, is she wearing heels?
No, she's wearing boots.
Oh, there's no excuse.
Yeah. And I'm just like...
What?
If you're wearing heels, it's hard to dodge in heels, Cam.
And you would know because? Because
it's hard to dodge in heels. Yeah.
Don't ask him what he does on the weekends.
Right. As a matter of fact, it's your choice, DJ.
But that's a nitpick of mine where I'm just like, it doesn't make any sense why you can't like do a dodge roll or anything. Mm-hmm. And then you gain an ability later where you can like kind of force move. But it's still like, why did it take me this long to learn how to dodge?
Right, right. Why wasn't that the first thing that you learned?
Right. And then on top of that, the map is a little... Map takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
And it's not always the best at directing you where to go.
Yeah.
And there's no like ping system. Like on most maps, you can like put a waypoint and then have a...
You can't put a waypoint?
No, you cannot.
Wow.
So the map system is a little wonky. But outside of that, everything else about this game is great. Once you get used to the combat, like... It's just wonderful and challenging.
Yeah,
just really dope.
I wonder if there were some nuances to this combat, because when you see in the clips, it literally just looks like her throwing bottles at these things and shooting them. And
fuck out my face!
That shit fun though.
Yeah,
like especially once you level things up a bit more and you can start throwing people at each other.
Yeah,
nice. Like funny.
Yeah, because I just unlocked an ability where once I get somebody at low health or once I kill them, I can pick up their body.
As a shield,
and
right?
Fling them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you upgrade guns too, right?
Or
you could just get different guns.
Like you have a gun that is called the service weapon.
Yeah.
And you have a gun and it's a ever shifting weapon. Mm. So like it has multiple modes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty dope.
I might need to check this out.
The presentation of the game is just great, though. Like, it looks amazing. There are some wonkiness in terms of, like, the... So, like, the facial animations are a little wonky at times, but enough to be like, oh, this is just bad.
Yeah.
It's just more so like, oh, right, Uncanny Valley, this is a video game.
Okay.
You know, we still haven't gotten that far in technology where it's... Everything is so seamless for every Naughty Dog or you know, God of War or stuff like that. There's so many other games that have good facial capture, but are still figuring out. And I think this is a AA studio as well. Mm-hmm. So like for it being a AA studio, this is some goddamn good graphics work.
Yeah.
The acting is good.
Yeah.
the story is intriguing. The world building is interesting because there's these things called objects of power. And like the gun that you have is one of them. And then like there's other ones out in the world that have paranormal things strapped to them.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I'm legit.
So
are there bosses?
Yeah.
Have you fought a boss yet?
I fought maybe three.
So
they challenge you?
Yes.
From what I heard.
But not like impossible.
Okay.
You actually have to go search for the bosses because they're more of a side mission stuff than main mission?
Yes and no.
Okay.
There are story bosses that have shown up.
Okay.
But then there also are stuff that, you know, you'll be searching for something. Like, I got a power through fighting. Like, there was a room that was taken over by one of the objects of power.
Oh.
And so you have to kind of, like, make sure that you don't get killed by this thing flinging things all over the place. And then cleanse that area and take that object of power.
Mm.
So what do you do with the object of power? Does the gun absorb it kind of thing?
Not the gun absorbs it, but literally like you get transported to this training zone and you learn the ins and outs of that power. And then you come back and then you like phase back into yourself. And then it's like, oh, I have this ability now.
Oh, so the object of power gives you abilities.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like the Matrix where you kind of just learn shit and then it's like, whoa, I know Kung Fu.
My question, no pun intended, how is the controls?
Get out of here.
Get out.
They're right solid. Now. They're not butter smooth.
Okay.
But they are also not impossible to pick up.
Yeah.
Like, it just takes some getting used to. Like, once you get used to the way that this game plays and the fact that, like, admittedly, like, once again, you can't dodge. And then the cover system is fine.
Yeah.
Is it like a Mass Effect Andromeda cover system? You know how, like, you have to go up to it and it automatically does it?
No.
Okay.
So you can, it's more button. So, like, you can crouch and, like, get behind things.
Oh, okay.
But
there's no sticky cover.
There's no sticky cover.
Oh.
And it's also...
Good luck.
And also the way that it plays, like, it doesn't seem like it wants you to use cover unless you really need to.
Oh, yeah, because you have to be aggressive to get health, right? Or something like that?
You have to kill things to get health.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also just, like, it's a game where you have paranormal telekinesis. You know, it's almost like they're telling you, like, nah, get out there and throw some shit, my guy. Yeah. Like, don't hide.
Right.
Though there are certain enemies where you actually have to kind of, like, hide or dodge certain things that are being flung at you.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it's, if you're used to using cover system and things, it's not a game that encourages the use of cover.
Wow, that's such a hard turn from probably playing Wildlands. I mean, or Ghost Recon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Your thumbs are like, yo,
what do I do? Yeah. What's happening?
So, my last question is because I actually haven't seen too much of this game.
Uh-huh.
So is there like a variety of enemy types? Because I've seen like one of the enemies. Like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm seeing.
It's just a bunch of dudes like shooting and then you throw stuff at them. That's all I've seen. And
there
you
is make a giant there shield. Is a variety of enemy types.
Yeah? Okay.
And there are like a lot of possessed foot soldiers, but there's a variety of types of possessed foot soldiers.
Yeah.
And then there's also like enemy types that are not those foot soldiers at all.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll have more
in-depth I'll probably, depending on what we do next week, like I'll probably have beaten the game by then.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right.
So what y'all been playing?
You want me to go or you want to go?
I'll go. Because it'll lead into.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm saving the game for last. So the first game that I played.
What off-brand mobile game have you been playing?
It's called Darksiders 3.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it is an off-brand mobile game.
This game, the reason why I asked you, Marcus, about the controls for Control, because the controls in Darksiders 3 is garbage. Darksiders 3 was... it even got me fucked up. But Darksiders 3 was made by Gunfire Games. Darksiders 3, Cam... was made by Gunfire Games.
Uh-huh.
Cam, do you know what other game that they made?
Darksiders 2.
You are not wrong. I was looking for Remnants from the Ash.
Really?
Really.
LOL.
So,
which is so different because the controls in that are,
oh my gosh.
So it's really funny because when I was playing Darksiders, I was just like, this really feels like Remnant, but a lesser than version. Like lesser than.
Yeah.
So
way lesser.
My experience with Darksiders, or my previous experience with Darksiders.
I played two. I was like, this is not for me.
It's a giant zip. I have no experience with this game. So I started from three because it was free 99. And I was watching the story like, I know who War is. I honestly can't tell you anything else what the fuck's going on here. So you play as Fury. She's the woman out of the four horses of Apocalypse or whatever.
Yeah.
And Fury, she's angry all the time, whatever. She doesn't have any pupils. Kind of weird. She has red hair, fire. And so she's
Irish.
So from like hell or wherever you are, you talk about there's a disturbance happening on Earth. And she's like, all right, cool, I'm going to go. And like you land in some city or whatever. Mind you, you're like one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Yeah. Fuck. You're fighting these normal people that they're bodying the fuck out of you. It's like, are you just not warmed up? What the fuck?
So, nigga,
right. And like, this is the first stage. Mind you, I picked the second from top. So it's like the second easiest difficulty. And I'm not a novice when it comes to playing games, especially third person. Hack and slash. Yeah.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes into this first level, you run into the first boss. I spent about 10 minutes on the boss and realized this game was not for me. The boss, like the way that the controls are set up, one, they are clunky as fuck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They are too tight and too loose at the same time.
Phrasing.
Okay. Is it tight on the weapons and then loose on the movements, or is it loose on the weapons and tight on the movement?
It's tight on the movements and it's very loose in terms of there's a lock-on system that is garbage.
Okay.
The button layout, I'm not a fan of.
Okay.
So like,
it sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's boy. So that was Darksiders 3. the other game I played was Super Kirby Clash.
On Switch?
On Switch.
Okay.
And okay, I literally watched the Nintendo Direct. It's like, oh, that looks interesting. Oh, it's free. I'm going to download the fuck out of that. I downloaded it. I was playing Smash Brothers. And I was like, I'm not going to go. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll try it. This Kirby game is a free-to-play microtransactions game.
Huh.
The camera's overreacting.
I was stunned once I actually
So you can't suck up any powers. You're like, oh, if you want this special power, so pay it. Let 99 cents.
Let me explain to you the layout of Kirby. This game. This is like a boss rush sort of style game where it's side scroller, but it's one frame. So you have the boss on screen and you have up to four like little Kirby characters. And you have different classes. So you have a scientist class, you have a mage class, you have like a hammer class and a sword class.
Okay.
And you pick one out of the four characters, and you get three other teammates, and you fight the bosses, right? And that's pretty much the whole premise of the game.
Oh, no.
So you fight boss, you get loot from boss, or you get gems and stuff from boss, and you buy equipment and armor to level yourself up to fight stronger bosses.
That's not how Kirby is meant.
Not how Kirby is. But this game is fun. I got a little skeeved out once it introduced the whole microtransaction thing, and it does a good job. Good job as in they're trying to push this stuff onto you by saying, hey, if you buy five of our little premium currency thing, you will notice the immediate improvement in the gem tree that you have because it will produce more gems that you can like pick up and so on and bullshit.
Oh, that's shiesty. Yeah.
And I was like, bro, this is a kid's game.
Yeah,
that's predatory.
First of all, think about the Switch in general. Nintendo has primarily marketed itself as like the kids friendly, family friendly system.
Yeah,
which makes it even worse than like EA or whoever, because EA is like, I mean, we for everybody,
right?
So everybody can get these hands. Nintendo's like, no, I want the kids.
Yeah. So and the other interesting thing. Well, okay, so I will say that I was like, all right, let me check the store to see how bad it is.
Okay.
The one, the thing that they're promoting, it's only 50 cents. And I was like, I don't think I've seen a 50 cent microtransaction before. Mm. So I was like, that's
did
not,
you buy it?
That's not, no.
But y'all finna add up.
No.
DJ bought that joint. Right. Got this OP Kirby.
I bought the $50 version. Okay. It's like, no. But, so yeah, like I didn't touch it. I was just looking to see like what the pricing for the different microtransactions were.
What that price do.
So besides that, the game itself is actually a lot of fun. And there's also a multiplayer feature on it where it's the same mode, but you pick four, you get three other people that are online.
Hmm.
It's Nintendo Online, so it was laggy as fuck.
Yep.
And
don't they charge you for that online?
Yeah, but it's like under $15 a year or something like that. Or
yeah, but like I thought the whole point of them charging for online service is that way it's actually good.
Well, we'll get to the point of that.
Oh, okay.
Later in the podcast.
Nice.
The third game that I played, as I said, Super Smash Brothers, Banjo and Kazooie. The character went live the day of the Nintendo Direct.
Okay.
How you feeling?
My rough impressions, Banjo Kazooie is a mediocre character.
Mediocre.
He will not be one of my mains. The character functions fine, but it's nowhere near the same level as Hero.
I think none of the characters are on the same
level. No one.
Yeah. Well,
I
mean,
that is a OP
character. So here's the thing. There was, if you look at the Persona character,
mm-hmm.
and Joker. Then you look at Joker, yeah. If you look at Joker and you look at Hero,
mm-hmm.
it's like, all right, they work well, but like Banjo and Kazooie, they feel like Brawl, Smash Brothers Brawl.
Mm.
Like they feel like that style.
Okay.
Where like their moves are like really cool and kind of creative, but not super functional. At least the way that I play it, it's not.
They're probably patch them up.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, like that was fine. That was fine. I played a couple matches with Banjo Kazooie and then against Banjo Kazooie. And then
did you play online?
Fuck no.
He's getting clapped.
Right? So I can just be disrespected? No, thank you.
I didn't know I came here to be disrespected.
Right.
It was, I remember I was reading some tweet or whatever where like somebody was playing like the Call of Duty beta,
mm-hmm.
and somebody was like, I got called a nigger online, and it was like, yes, that old Call of Duty back.
Yes.
It's Call of Duty fire already.
Sean been saying the same shit.
Yep. Yep. All right, so real quickly, I beat Dragon's Dogma.
Okay.
I completely forgot how fucking awesome the ending is.
You talking about when you go back into your pond?
So no, I didn't do that part.
Or you're talking about you beat the dragon?
I beat the
dragon. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
One thing I do remember about Dragon's Dogma that I didn't necessarily care for.
Marcus, you need to play this game, okay?
Hey. Stop.
You need to play this game.
Was the dungeon, because the dungeon was kind of hard to navigate because you fall into the sky.
Yeah, ever fall.
And then it felt like you were running to all these random bosses, but not the boss.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I remember not liking.
Like,
but go ahead.
I'm not going to waste the time.
No, it's
but
okay.
Like,
we got all
that. That game is such an underrated RPG.
I know.
And so just the ending. So the idea is that at the beginning of the game, this OP dragon comes to your town, fucks with the town, and you try to be a hero. You attack the dragon. Dragon's like, you puny human, and just scratch your heart out of your chest.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and the dragon's like, I have your heart now. Yeah. If you want to get it back, come fight me when you're strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire game, you're like doing other stuff, but you're really working up.
2 hours later.
So at the end of the game, you get to the point where you are strong enough to fight the dragon, but then the dragon throws this side thing at you where it's just like, hey, now look, I won't kill you because I could definitely kill you. What I'm going to do is have you choose between fighting me, possibly dying, or your beloved right here. You could just sacrifice your beloved and I'll let you go.
Final. So who is your beloved? Because in mine, Mercedes, I gave Mercedes like mad cloud whines to make her like me and get the wing sound. So who was yours?
So I fucked up big time.
Oh my God.
I had multiple beloveds. So I had made the witch.
Yeah.
I got her affinity up. I got Madeline's affinity all the way up. Madeline's the merchant that's always
she's a city girl basically, because she scamming
gold diggers. Like,
she's scamming.
These relationships sound like trash.
I got Mercedes infinity all the way up.
Mercedes, I was trying to clap.
Yeah.
I love you, bitch. Oh my God. I ain't gonna never stop loving you, bitch.
I even got Sir Dario's affinity all the way up to give me a key. to give me a key so I could open up this damn place to get these two pieces of armor that I wanted, but he wasn't given a fucking key. Anyways, I also got Julian's affinity all the way up because I wanted the shield, and to do that, you had to resurrect the man after you kill him, because he's fighting Mercedes. But
so you got all these beloveds.
So I got all these beloveds. And what the game does is if you have more than one, the game's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to choose someone at random. So
who did they pick?
They picked Julian. So this man, I'm like, I didn't even like this dude as a character. And now I have to deal with him. So I was like, hey, yo, Dragon, take this man out. Because I wanted to see what the fuck would happen.
Yeah, because I've never done that. I've never chose that option.
Yeah, I ran up to him. I picked up Julian. I just ran up to Dragon and threw it. So, like, once you do that, what happens is the dragon's like, oh, you've made your choice. Cool. And then the screen goes white. And then it comes back. You are the new king of Grand Sorin. And yeah. Yeah. So that. Yes.
I need to start throwing these. Okay, right. go ahead.
So you become the new king. Like, so Grand Sorin is like the big city,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So you become King Grand Sorin. Like, and
I'm
like,
so mad. Talking about this trash game.
So like at the end, you're just like, oh, what have I done kind of thing. You put your hands in your head.
No,
you're
not
like,
at all.
Yeah, exactly. I've been like, nah, fuck, I'm good. Fuck that dude. I don't care.
One eternity later.
Yeah, so that was that. So I went back and I actually fought the dragon. I beat the dragon because I was.
Then you got to fight yourself.
So here's the thing. I didn't do all that. So I beat the dragon, came back into like the regular world or whatever, and like the dragon's like, oh, good job, you beat me. By the way, fuck you. And he puts a giant crater in Grand Sorin.
Death Stranding.
Bruh. It's pretty much like that. Like, he literally wipes out about 60% of that city. Mm-hmm. And you go back to that city and you're just like, oh, fuck. So there's going to be a video that we're going to put out about that, because there's a little funny thing that I captured. But
see?
So that happens, and Dragon's
Dogma content in 2019, my guy.
Nigga, how did we manage to talk about Dragon's Dogma more than a brand new game?
Because you asked
me. I don't understand.
Anyways, so I go back to the king. I talk to the king. The king is like super old because he actually made a pact with the dragon, but he had his beloved killed, and he was king. So that's how he became king.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
So it's like, oh, fuck.
And you gotta kill him.
Yeah, I beat his ass.
Of course.
Yeah. So yeah, this game is so awesome, and it's such an underrated game. And I encourage everyone, including you, Marcus, including you, Sean, who's not here, including you, Jordan, who's not here as well,
including you, Avery,
including you, Avery,
you say the same thing.
All
about
you
the
guys.
Games.
Get this game. No. It's better than Skyrim.
It is, actually.
I mean, that's not a high bar to clear.
It is. It's way better than Skyrim.
Like I said, Skyrim is Duke.
All right. So the last game we're going to talk about, it's going to talk about in joint with Cam, which is Remnants of Ash. Remnants from the Ash. Yeah.
Yo,
Cam, you take it away, because I talked about it last podcast.
It was the best purchase I've made this year so far. Considering my track record has been Anthem, Ni No Kuni 2, My Little Dictator. Mm-hmm. And this is the best purchase. I would say, unless Death Stranding has to be fun. Like, I know the story is going to be fire.
Right.
But this is like legit fun. Like, I'm like, I can't wait to play this.
Yeah.
And it's fun in that BDSM way that you like to play video games.
So,
punish me, daddy, the video game.
Zaddy. So my thing was, it helped me understood what people like about the Souls-esque game.
Yeah.
So, for example, I tried to play Lords of the Fallen and The Surge and all that. And the thing that I didn't like about those games was I would die. I don't have a problem with dying. It's losing all my progress. Mm-hmm. And so then here you have a thing where it's like shooting, loving.
Yeah.
You die a lot, but I don't lose any of the progress because there's no real progress. Like, and then rather than increase your level, you do certain things to unlock traits that will make your gameplay easier.
So real quick,
mm-hmm.
I realize why I don't like Darksiders 3.
Yeah.
Because it's all melee. And the melee in Remnant is not great.
It is garbage.
Yeah. So
and it's the same people.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So that's why.
Yeah, the melee is not good here. And yeah. So when they said on like those streams you can do like a melee only build, I'm thinking like how?
Never.
You would literally have to put on all the heavy armor, one. But then two, the melee is just not good.
Yeah, no.
And one thing I really enjoy about the game is just when you get comfortable with a specific enemy type or how the game is playing, the game literally changes up. So DJ and I, we go to our second world and it's like these like ooga booga niggas, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I should say that.
Nope. It's time in.
No. My guy, help me.
Yeah, so you run these ooga boogas.
So what Cam meant is that they are like cannibal tribe.
Oh, that's even
tribal
worse.
People.
That's even worse.
Please save me, Marcus. Take me out,
you
bro.
You ran into some aborigines.
That's actually disrespectful to what these type of dudes are. It's disrespectful to
them.
Oh,
man.
So anyway, so we run in and they like, so they're chilling in the world, like you in this little like Mad Max looking world, right?
Yeah, like desert.
And then you chilling and these dudes see you and next thing you're like, all these niggas just bum rush you.
Right.
And their thing is like, we coming at you, we'll throw spears, whatever. And we got like these rabbit dogs. And so then you get used to this because you're like, oh, I need to play with my shotgun because they're charging
me. To you, yeah.
Literally. So you do this. This is the open world. You go to the next dungeon. And so your playstyle's literally been like straight. These niggas will run at you. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, me and DJ getting sniped from like half the map.
Yeah.
And we're like, yo, who was out there? And then like these dudes start like running around. Next you know, you hear like a beeping sound from a rocket launcher. And I'm like, yo, what? And then like some shaman comes out of nowhere, hits you with like radiation.
Oh my gosh.
And so this wasn't even the boss. And so it took me and DJ literally almost 2 to 3 hours to get past this map.
Yeah. And just the map alone.
And so then we finally get to the boss. We beat the boss in like 15 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
What part of that sounded fun to you?
Because
I don't know.
But the last, and we actually got through it, we were working them so efficiently, where it was just like, person over there, take him out. We took him out. All right, you good? You got ammo? You good? Okay, good. Let's go. Let's go. Like, it got to the point where we were just such like a trained machine.
Yeah.
A trained machine. Whatever.
No, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. So like,
well-oiled.
Yes, well-oiled.
And that's where I say it helps me understand the appeals of the Souls game. So, like, in Souls, everybody's always like, get good.
Yeah.
And you just dying all the time and losing all your experience points, whatever. And you're like, I don't understand the point of getting good because I can't even progress. And so here, it was literally like, I came in here with one set of tactics. I made across half the map and died. Why did I die? Okay, cool. What can we do differently? All right, let's move on this side. All right. I'm going to revive you, DJ, but I need to revive you in this type of time. Or
yeah,
I want to pop my dragon heart, but I have this particular charm on. So let's heal all at once. And then like, and so you do start thinking differently. And then just when you get used to that, the base enemies at the level change again. So then now we're at this jungle part. Right. And we're like, okay, cool. Like, we killing these dudes, but then you're like in your groove. Right. And then like you kill a bunch of enemies and then you hear like this like bling sound, right? And then like a legendary pops up, and not like legend, like, so it disrupts the whole flow because then now you're trying to like kill like minions plus this OP version of whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then these new enemies have like two parts to killing them. So like, you shoot them in the head, his head pops off, like he's spawning. So the legendary dude spawns enemies, so you want to kill him quickly.
Yeah.
And then you shoot him in the head, then he pops off and his little head like runs around.
It's like a worm.
Nope.
To attach to like a new like boss.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to hear him run and shoot him while the current enemies that he already spawned are attacking you.
Yeah.
And then so we were on a good run with killing these bosses. until this new one that we're at, yo. And I was just like, and I see this like, this is a 2-hour thing.
Yeah.
So DJ, I'm pretty sure DJ told y'all, but like the first night we played, like I was just like, that first boss, I was like, ain't no way. It literally took us like forever.
That was
I almost rough. Was like, why did I buy this game?
Yes.
And ever since then, it's been easier ever since.
Yeah.
Because you're like, it can't get worse than that.
Right.
Well, now we're about to see.
Well, before we move on, I'd like to direct.
Oh, and I play Pokemon.
Boy, if you don't get.
So you're looking at the first Alolan champ in the moon version.
You ain't the first. I gave you that version, boy.
You're deleted, my guy. So, yeah, you're looking at, you know, the first black Alolan champ.
Dude, I was black too.
And so, but yeah, Pokemon Moon is good. As I said, as I was telling off mic, the end game is just not that great.
Yeah.
And so I will be moving on.
Okay. And that's my Pokemon review. Well,
3 years later, come with that heat.
Next up, we will be reviewing Siphon Filter. But before we move on from this ridiculously long, what have we been playing?
Yeah.
I would like to direct you guys to a game that is also challenging and rewards you for getting good, and you can surf on demons, and it's called Devil May Cry 5.
I thought you were going to say Dragon's Dogma. I really did.
Because I was like, oh, you can definitely climb up on. Because
it's tough, but it also is fun to get good.
I don't know.
Man,
what
you had
say,
your chance Marcus. In February. We ain't thinking about you no more.
Shit was good, though.
I know. It was definitely better than whatever else came out in February.
It sure was. But yeah, so that's what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsors, Gunfire Studios.
Hey there, enjoying the episode? Want to hear more? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have subscribed, great. Spread the word. Tell everybody. To follow us on social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start. Twitter at PressX2S and YouTube now at PressX2StartTV. And if you've done all of this already, well done.
And we're back.
Oh, time for the quick hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to make this real quick. So number one, this comes from IGN. PlayStation UK says the DualShock X button is actually called Cross.
So apparently we are now in the UK. Press Cross to start.
Yeah, I'm not ever calling it Cross. X it is. Number two, IGN. Celeste Free Chapter 9 DLC is titled Farewell, and it's out now.
You will probably get impressions of that from Sean whenever the hell he gets around to it.
Well, after he beats the original game.
Yes.
Number three, Gears of War 5 pulls in great reviews.
I'm surprised.
They got an 8.8 in IGN, and they're sitting at 85% on Metacritic.
Well, hey, you know, shout out to you, Gears. You know, can't smoke in that game, but you want the smoke.
The Washington Post calls it the definition of a great game.
Oh. Well, if the Washington
Is that the
Post
only game it, that they played this year?
Yeah, you know, it's just like, all right, guys.
Well, sure. If the Post says it.
Yeah. And then also, along with Gears 5 news, David Bautista is going to be a playable character later this month.
DJ, fuck these nigga names up.
His name is Dave.
What did I say?
You
David?
Said Davin.
I was trying to be proper.
His name is Dave.
Never mind.
Big Dave. Drax Bautista.
What'd I say? I'll fuck up your name.
This is true.
Number four. This is coming from IGN. PlayStation reveals beautiful new box art for the PlayStation 4 exclusives.
Mm.
And they look really fucking great.
Now, if only they can get those same developers on their controllers.
Thank you. Thank you. Number five. This is coming from Kotaku. Nintendo announces some sort of Switch fitness thing. By the time you listen to this, you'll have more information than we do right now. So you can let us know.
Hey, you fat boy, get fit.
Didn't we do this already?
With they sure did.
The Wii?
With the Wii?
Yeah, we did this with the Wii already, right?
Yeah, the balance board, right? Well, this is looking like it almost looks like a car wheel. And like you can spin it like a car. I don't know. Okay. It looks real dumb.
All right.
Anyways, number six. This is coming from IGN. Anshar Studio reveals their cyberpunk theme RPG game deck. And I actually thought this was coming from Project CD Red.
DJ, fuck these nigga names up.
CD Projekt Red.
What'd I say? I'll fuck up your name.
Are you dyslexic?
I might be.
Undiagnosed dyslexia.
All right, so yeah, this RPG, it looks really cool. In the trailer, you appear to be like a detective in the cyberpunk world, but mm-hmm. cyberpunk as in the board game.
Well, more so cyberpunk as in like the genre of sci-fi. Like it's not.
It's not in
the cyberpunk world.
Right.
It's just like a cyberpunk style game.
Interesting. Okay. I was thinking more so pulling from like the board game.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, okay. As far as I've read, it is not connected to the CD Projekt Red cyberpunk world at all.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, the trailer is like a meta look into the gaming world.
Yeah.
So in the trailer, the protagonist says like, you know, you'll be solving crimes like a murder of a games clan dispute.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, that's cool. And then child slavery in a free-to-play game. And I was like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And then there's nudity.
There's titties.
There is titties.
And I mean, that's all they needed to say.
Yeah, they did it. That's it. All right, so with that being done, now it's time for the heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters. There's a big old elephant in the room, isn't there?
There is.
Address that shit, DJ.
And its name is Nintendo Direct. All right, so with Nintendo having their Direct, they released a lot of games. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about all of them because not all of them are worth talking about. And we're going to start with Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Oh.
So.
That little indie game.
Yes. So
I can't wait to get that bad boy.
Yeah, yeah. And they dropped a nice little chunk of information.
You ready to go camping?
Oh boy, am I.
Glamping. I'm gonna go to Pokemon. DJ's camp. I'm gonna have his Flareon make me some chili.
Whoa, I'm not gonna have a Flareon. You think I'm a Flareon person?
You seem more of a Glaceon.
More of a Vaporeon. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Marcus, what are you? Not doesn't matter game. Anyway. All right, so with the first with the announcements for Pokemon Sword and Shield, they showed off that you can customize your character, which is cool. Okay. They've also confirmed black people exist in this reality because the hairdresser is a black woman.
Oh,
what them hairstyles and color shades look like, because I can't really
well her out. Lipstick was orange and her hair was purple, I believe, so there's that.
Well, Japan. You know,
at least the skin color was okay.
Yeah, you know, baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. Second thing they showed was Pokemon Camp, as Cam mentioned
which
earlier.
At this point, I'm surprised isn't an actual game that is apart from all of
yes,
this.
Yes. After Pokemon Sleep, you have Pokemon Camp. So in Pokemon Camp, you spend time with your Pokemon, and that will help you. Like when they build affinity towards you, they perform better in battle.
What you gonna do? Cuddle your Pokemon?
I mean, you just throw stuff at them and give them food. You know, really?
Eat.
It's like a child, really.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah. So on top of this, you can also visit other players' camps.
Okay.
And you can have up to 4 people in one camp at one time. So that's cool.
Can you go to somebody else's camp and just fuck all their shit up?
You might be able to.
I'm getting this game.
Find out next time on Pokemon Sword and Shield. So the third thing they showed was the cooking minigame.
Cooking Mama Pokemon.
They put curry on everything. Because
it is Japan.
Yes, that's true.
I was like, that's right. I was looking at that meal. I was like, dang, this is spicy. Even the little anime character was like, heart sign.
So there's over 100 recipes in that game, which is very interesting for a Pokemon game. I like what they're doing. I like the fact that they're branching out in this way. I just hope
there's
that
good Pokemon in this true. game, because I feel like they're putting a lot of effort in everything but said Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they heard you talking shit about the end game, so they were like,
great, I can live my life as a Pokemon master sous chef.
My thing is, I hope that this is important to the game. I hope that it's not just like, oh, you do this, you cook a recipe. This is all I need to do. Like, I'm fine. I don't need the rest of them.
It won't be.
Yeah, it probably won't be, yeah. But they also showed two new Pokemon. They showed Poltergeist, which is Ghost in a Teapot. It is a movie. You're right. You know what's funny? It's a movie. And then my little description of it, I was trying to refer to Ghost in the Shell.
Ah.
Yeah. Ghost in the Shell of a Teapot. There you go. Yeah. The second Pokemon they showed was Cramorant. I love that name. It is a fucking awesome name. Okay. It is a fucking awesome bird that I will capture and make mine. And I'm going to call him Sydney.
It's a bird that throws fish.
It's a bird that throws fish.
Yeah. Or it yeah. Yes. Okay, now I'm
so, it throws fish because it has a unique ability that after it uses the move surf, it will have a fish in its mouth. Yes. And then if it is attacked after with the fish in its mouth, it will use Gulp Missile, which is its ability, and it will shoot the bird or shoot the fish at the Pokemon that hit it.
It sounds like a regular bird.
You're not wrong, but it's also a blue bird.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. All right. So the other game they showed was Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm not really an Animal Crossing fan. I did want to get into Animal Crossing. I'm a little conflicted on if this will be the Animal Crossing that gets me in.
We're going to get a review from Shireen later this year.
Well, actually, I showed her and she was like, what is this? Mind you, we talked about Animal Crossing. I've shown her like other past games and so on and so forth. But she's like, there was no real story to be shown there.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like, what's going on here? I was talking to my friend who is really big in Animal Crossing and like trying to get her perspective on it. And she was telling me like, yeah, you play as a mayor and you're like, you're doing stuff for the town, so on and so forth.
It's like Stardew Valley, basically.
Sort of, yeah. Like Stardew Valley definitely pulls elements from Animal Crossing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the one thing about New Horizons is there's a interesting like rolling perspective where it's similar to Sonic, like when you go into the ring realm kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it's like that scrolling at the top horizon thing.
Yeah.
They do the same technique and it's really interesting.
Okay.
So yeah, those were two like big titles. So there was a bunch of announcements made, and I'm just gonna really pull the big ones because of time.
Yeah,
and the fact that Sean's not here as our Nintendo rep.
Exactly. So this just all feels wrong.
All right. So they announced Overwatch is coming to Switch.
Woo! Better late than never.
That is awesome. They also announced Super Kirby Clash, which I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. It was a free title that they said is out right now, kind of thing.
Get you some Super Kirby Clash to spend some Super Kirby cash.
Mm. Ooh, I like that. I like that.
So the thing is that Overwatch, unless they work on their like their Nintendo Connect or whatever it is, ooh, that boy. Overwatch is going to be difficult, my friend.
Show is.
That is a good point. They're also bringing Return of the Obra Dinn to Switch.
I don't know what that is.
So none of us knows what that is, but that was actually a, like that game was competing for Game of the Year last year. Like that's
where,
like IGN, like actually, like the big outlets were like really pushing that forward. I don't know, man. It looks
I don't know. God of War.
It's black
Red
and white.
Dead Redemption 2. Return of the Obra Dinn. Who?
All right, so Game Freak, one of the creators of Pokemon.
I bought myself a game and then I freaked.
Put out their
yes yes
new game called Little Town Hero. This trailer looks really really cute and really awesome.
Will there be Pokemon in it?
It won't be Pokemon in
it. I don't want to hear
it. It's a RPG styled game.
Okay.
And for the life of me, I can't tell you how the fuck the game functions.
Okay.
There is like a rock paper scissors aspect to it, but it's not like traditional. I don't know. There's a lot going on. As I talked about in the What We're Playing section, Banjo and Kazooie is out for Smash Bros.
And even bigger news,
we are getting a new character.
Yeah.
From SNK.
What's his name?
Fucking Rock Lee. Oh, what the fuck is his name?
Nigga!
Terry Bogard, goddammit.
Oh, the other guy. Wayne Terry. Johnson. There you go. Yes. Terry Bogard.
Okay.
Yes, him. Will be coming to Smash in the fall.
That's about to be my main. I'm throwing my hat at everyone.
So another announcement made by Sakurai is that I'm not sure if it was made by Sakurai or by Nintendo.
It wasn't made by Sakurai because he can't use his arms.
Was that there will be a Fighter's Pass Season 2 for next year for Smash Brothers Ultimate. Okay. So we're getting more characters.
Somebody let that man rest.
He definitely was like, hey, I'm done after this.
You thought.
Please.
You thought, Sakurai.
Please, Nintendo, let me be done. Nintendo was like, get in your fucking Pokeball, dude.
You work for me.
Right. As long as you're breathing, you're making Smash Brothers characters. That's terrible. Come on, guys. Okay, so there was a bunch of like just random stuff. Divinity Original Sin 2 is getting put on the Switch. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because that is like the premiere of premier RPGs, where you can... I actually been doing a lot of research on this game because I'm actually interested in getting it. But Borderlands 3 comes out next week. So
yep.
I don't know about that. But yeah, that's an awesome game. We have Lock and Load. I think it's Locked and Loaded. Mm-hmm.
Sounds this generic.
Boy, girl, generic characters.
Mm.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you care about it, you could look. It's just... you get... what, four or five people, they jump out of a plane and they run towards the camera and that's it. Whatever. So we have SNES games are actually coming to Switch now. And Cam, this is for you.
Okay.
You had a question about what Nintendo was doing with that money that we were giving them for the online.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to the SNES games coming on Switch.
Great. I would rather have stable Wi-Fi and stable internet connection. But sure.
Shit. I mean, yes, we would all like
but
that.
But how dare I?
Exactly. And they are releasing 20 games that's coming for SNES. You have games like Super Mario World, which a lot of people are asking for. You have Super Metroid. You have Star Fox. You have Super Mario Kart. It's a lot of Super in the titles. And then you have games like Brawl Brothers. I have no idea what the fuck that is. You also get Pilot Wings. That's a big thing. And F motherfucking Zero. So. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. I appreciate that. The other big thing that I wanted to quickly bring up is we're getting another demo for Daemon X Machina, guys. Are you guys excited?
This man decided to bring up Daemon X Machina when they released the Luigi's Mansion thing, and you decide to bring up that. You don't even like Daemon X Machina.
You got me. I don't know why they're still fucking with that game. Anyways, as Marcus says, we got some look into the different floors of Luigi Mansion 3, which looks pretty interesting. They show the multiplayer, and that looked completely insane. Like, you get, I think that you can get up to like 8 characters.
Oh, wow.
On screen. Yeah. Because you get Luigi and then Gooigi. Goo, motherfucking Ouija. You ain't know.
Made out of nut.
It's green.
No, you need to get that checked out.
No, it's all character.
Also, there's no way that Nintendo's internet connection is going to allow for you to have 8 characters on that screen.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, I don't. Man, it looked like a mess when they were showing it. So.
That joke gonna crash at 3.
All right. So, real quick, they also showed. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast. Not a big Star Wars guy, so I'm like, okay, cool. And the last thing that they showed, which is pretty interesting, is Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. So I'd be interested to see how they're going to get that game running on Switch, because that is a big game.
Yeah.
So with that being said, that's pretty much... I mean, there was also more games that was announced for the Direct, but, you know, that's pretty much all we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah.
So, Marcus.
To wrap this whole thing up.
Yes.
So, if you guys have been listening since we had E3 this year, there was a game that we didn't know much about, but it was on my top games of E3 because I was excited for it. I may no longer be excited about this game. So, Ghostwire Tokyo. A game shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
Is now up in the air.
That's unfortunate.
Because Ikumi Nakamura, the creative director of Ghostwire Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
who had also become a fan favorite personality because of her bubbly demeanor during E3, has departed the studio Tango Gameworks.
And Tango Gameworks is owned by Bethesda.
Yeah.
So we really could drive up there and ask them what's going on.
I mean, we could.
We could.
We could also throw
Yo, bombs. What's going on, my guy?
But they got security, so we probably shouldn't.
I mean, we could whoop their
ass. I thought you used to be there.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm not trying to get in trouble.
He's like, maybe I can finagle a job.
I recognize that guy.
In a quote from Ikumi's Twitter, after 9 years as creative director and art director at Tango and ZeniMax, I felt here is one of the ends of the journeys.
Yeah, that's directed.
Yeah. I learned from the talented people I've worked with and respect. Contact me if anyone wants to work with me.
Yeah, she put her LinkedIn up too.
She's like, hey, yo, holla at your girl, though, you know, fucks in a max, you know, you're. But...
oh, shit.
So there is no real information on why she left. Mm-hmm. It could be creative differences. It could be that she just found a better opportunity elsewhere. We don't know. The only people that know are whatever god you believe in, her and the studio.
That's true.
But that is very worrisome because it's never good to see the head director of a project leave mid-development.
Yeah.
That in almost any genre of art spells disaster for said project. I really can't think of a film or game or what have you that had a head director leave mid-development and had it all come out really good when it got released.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yikes.
So I am concerned.
You should be.
Yeah.
Because we haven't, but the one
you
thing.
You should be concerned.
The one thing that this whole situation has going for it is, despite her leaving, we still don't know what the hell this game is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because we haven't seen any footage, any gameplay, really, we don't know what we're missing out on.
Right.
Now, the game could still be trash because she's gone, but we have no frame of reference yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they could realistically pull it around and we'd be none the wiser.
Right.
So that's what I'm hoping for. But like I said, if it's doo-doo, we all know why.
Exactly. All right, that has been our episode of Press X to Start Podcast.
The What We've Been Playing edition.
Basically.
All right, well, we hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed talking about it. Because boy, did we talk
a lot.
Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2star.com. Until next time, be a good boy.
Uno out.
And be a good girl.